It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's tipped. It's controlled by Morant. Here comes Morant across half court. Conley guards him. He attacks in the lane. Throws it back out. Jackson for the lead. It's good. 5.7 seconds left. Timeout Jazz. Memphis lead.
Ingles inbounding on the far side. Ingles holding. Ingles holding, gets it into Donovan. Donovan drives with the right hand. Pullback jumper at the horn, no. Memphis beats Utah in Utah on a Jaren Jackson three.
Jaren Jackson dagger late with the Jazz, losing last night 119-118 to the Memphis Grizzlies. And so there you go. We're going to be talking with Tim Lacombe here shortly, our Utah Jazz insider. As Luke Fickell is the head coach of Cincinnati is joining the College Football Playoff Ranking Show, and with a giant smile on his face, Scott. I mean, my heavens! Of course, he's going to be excited about being number four. So that's the big news. Of course, what we got in the world of College Football Playoff rankings is that Cincinnati is 4, Alabama 3, Ohio State 2. They swapped places, Alabama and Ohio State, this week because Alabama only won by a touchdown over Arkansas at home, and Ohio State ran it up on Michigan State, of course. And then number one, of course, Georgia. Our number one, he's our Jazz insider, Coach Tim Lacombe, joining us on the program. Coach, what's going on, man?
Well, I'm just commuting from traffic, you know, driving driving on the splendid I-15 about now is not good.
No, it's not, but you know what it does?
What do you do to your apple cart? Do you stir it up? Do you stir when you try to create?
Tip over the apple cart? We're trying to figure out what the saying is.
What is it?
I thought it was stir up the applesauce.
Oh. You guys are both wrong. You guys are both wrong. You guys got to be both wrong. Come on.
Hey, it takes a lot of apples to make applesauce.
I put cinnamon.
It does, baby.
Oh, you're not helping, Coach. I know you're on Scott's team on this one. I'm not going to let you guys take this thing over, okay?
Scott's—he reminds me of Majerus. He used to come up with some beauties like that, you know, just make up
metaphors.
Stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, you know what he's saying, but you also know it's dead wrong on the metaphor front. It's fine, we get it. You know, idioms and you know, colloquialisms, we get it. You know, we kind
of—you just called me an idiot.
No, I didn't. Come on, Coach.
Hey.
Go ahead.
So I had a buddy, he used to say, like, repeatedly, and I had to have to correct him, but he learned it right off the back, B-A-C-K.
Oh.
He was like, okay. And I'm like, that makes no sense. It can't be right off the back. Nobody plans for right off the back, you know?
Scott's always like,
anyway.
That's weird.
You know, Scott always goes, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that's something people don't like to talk about. There's a stigmatism around it. that's one of my favorite ones. You know, you can't. There's a stigmatism surrounding that one. Yeah, let's get it some LASIK surgery. We'll fix it right up.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's wild. Stick around. There's going to be more of that. All right. So right off the bat, I'm watching this game last night, and I thought they won't throw this one away, and then. Suddenly, the Jazz get a dagger three, which is usually the reverse. They're kind of the ones usually upsetting those types of games. But the Grizzlies are a tough team. John Morant's tough. When you get three guys over 25 points in the game, That's a tough one. I mean, they ended up walking away with a one-point win. That's a much-improved Grizzlies team, though.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, the only thing I'd say is the Jazz can't lose that game. You know, they're up 6 with a minute 9. You know, it's I think they were 93%, 94% had the win in their pocket. And, you know, I've had those happen to me. It's really hard. But it's just one where you go back and you realize it wasn't really about the last minute. It was about the mindset in the second half. And, you know, everybody spoke about it after the game, the guys, coach. And until they really prioritize it and figure it out, it's, you know, it's still going to upset the apple cart every now and again.
Upset the
That's
old apple cart.
That's what it is. Right. That's what it is. Rolls off the old tongue there.
I like it the other way.
Yeah, okay.
But so speaking of that, so you talk about the mindset of the team. Is that why it's like – I mean, does that impact the play? Because what I saw coming down the stretch of the game was – just fundamental basketball. You dribble the ball off your leg. You turn it over if you're Donovan Mitchell. I mean, these guys, this is a pro, you know. It's like, how often do you see that happen? They get the foul shots, and, of course, they are going to rebound, right? And so they put Hassan Whiteside in to get the rebound, and then Rudy Gobert does a really poor job of boxing out. He just gets pushed under the basket and gives Memphis a chance to actually make some kind of tip on a miss. And I mean, Utah would have been better if they'd actually made it, but still, it's probably would have won the game. But it's those fundamental things, and it's those breakdowns. And then you see Donovan with 5 seconds to go, and of course, you know, he's your guy, but you're just going to dribble to the right? I mean, isn't there a better play? Isn't there a good pick and roll? Or I mean, they were getting a good pick and roll with Connolly earlier in the game, and it was almost like they could get that shot at will. Does the Jazz ever want to change, like not putting the ball in Donovan's hands at the end of the game when clearly I thought maybe Mike Hanley or Connolly was better equipped to handle the end of the game?
Yeah, I would almost think, you know, and I've seen a bunch of end of games, you know, and the Jazz typically do a really good job of getting a shot. You know, this one kind of got fouled up from the start. I think the timing on the play. And caught that ball so far out toward half court. I think the hard part about it, you mentioned the free throw block out. You go back to, you know, countless times where they didn't get back defensively. And when you lose by 1 point and realize we did 100 things wrong, that's when it really gets frustrating. But again, all the guys talked about it until they actually really lock in and make it, constant. They're gonna struggle. And so, yeah, the hallmark of a good team is they get back and they stop things in transition. They don't give up easy baskets. And right now, unfortunately, the Jazz are doing too much of that. And, you know, they're still a good defensive team, but it's just a lapse that will at times cost you games.
Now you look at some of these games that are coming up for the Jazz. Going to Oklahoma City's one thing. I think even Oklahoma City is a young, talented team. I don't want to talk them up too much because it's not like they're a great team at all, but I think they probably overperformed a little bit to the expectations. What are they expecting out of that game tomorrow with Oklahoma City?
Well, I think it's a team that, again, it's a game the Jazz need to win. I think they need to win the rest of the week, right? They play Oklahoma City there tomorrow, and then the weekend they host the Pelicans twice on Friday and Saturday. So, you look at it, the Jazz need to figure out a way to do two things. Most important, they need to go 3-0. They just need to win these games because that's the most important thing. And then I think the second thing is they got to figure out how to play right. And they got to figure out how to play for a purpose, you know, for the team. The defensive transition thing's troubling. So there's certain things that I think this team can get better at. There's certain things they're doing great. But until they all kind of decide that this is what we got to do to be good, you know, I think they're still going to pinball around a little bit, and you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. This team's going to make the playoffs, but I do believe that, you know, the more habits you can really instill and make them a solid thing this early in the year, the better.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about is like managing the entire season. So you talk about developing these habits or you talk about winning out the week. like Coach Snyder, what does he do? Does he have a plan? Does he have a plan for the week or the month or how to get this team through the season? What are they trying to accomplish as they're going along in the season? Because all I hear is, well, you know, we know what to do. We just got to go out and do it. And I'm just curious how you manage a season like that is so long.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, this season starts on time when the other one was compressed and late. So that, you know, this is a lot of basketball being run in together. And I think, you know, the Jazz, they busted their butt last year to get first seed. And I think they got there and realized, hey, you still got to go play. Right. So I don't want to say that the regular season has taken the back seat, because that's certainly not the case. But I think, like, as a team, you've got to find a motivation. You've got to find a reason that, hey, we're not going to continually get beat back in transition, and we're going to stop this. You know, you speak about Quinn's plan. I guarantee he has a plan. And he probably had to adjust that plan a little bit based on the results of last year. You know, they had some success in the postseason. But they took first place and they didn't get to the finals. So, you know, what's his message to the team and how is he going to position things? My guess is that there are certain things that are non-negotiable, you know, and defense and getting back in transition has got to be one of them. And, you know, it's just something the team's got to get.
Tim Lacombe, he's the coach. He, of course, covers your pre, half, and post with Jake Scott or the Utah Jazz Radio
Network.
Not shooting
the ball there.
Oh, there it's popping in and out here. Tim, can you hear us okay? Can you still hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry.
No, what happened to the apple cart?
Is the apple cart guy? He started up.
I was stirring the apple cart, and it shocked me, you know, how fun it was to stir it.
Hey, speaking of food, Coach, the we're trying to eliminate a side. You have to eliminate one side from Thanksgiving, because I think we need to be honest with ourselves and realize that not all of them are great. So which one are you going to eliminate from this Thanksgiving?
Green beans.
There you go. The casserole, the one with the crispy whatever on it?
I like the casserole. No, I like the casserole. Just the straight green beans. They can go. I don't need them.
Whoever the family member was, who brings that over, they're also eliminated. Like they're not. they can't come with green beans in a dish and then go, this is what my offering is. What's your favorite thing?
Yeah, they're gone too. My favorite thing is stuffing and cranberry. Mm.
Together?
I love cran stuffing.
Cran stuffing.
I love this fine. When we have guests on.
Everybody loves all the stuff I hate.
Alex is on this mission to get rid of stuffing for Thanksgiving.
I think it's overrated.
Stuffing is Thanksgiving.
I think it's overrated.
And I'm on this.
Dude, I love stuffing, man.
Tim, you know that it's probably soggy. You know, it probably doesn't live up to the billing half the time.
Not my wife. My wife's stuffing is, well, that sounds personal. My wife's stuffing is to die for.
I know. See, and look, my father-in-law makes a great one, too. It's got to be crispy. You can't have the mushy stuff. Get out of here with the mushy stuff. So that's all I'm saying. All right. Coach is going to have the pre- and post-game shows tomorrow and halftime with Jake Scott. I'm assuming you're going to be doing that tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
I'm in town. Yep. Okay. I'm here.
All right. There's the coach. Thanks for hanging out
with
us.
But I'm telling you, it is one of the things I look forward to, hanging with you boys weekly. This is great.
Hey,
so,
roll. Hey,
keep it going.
We love it, man. We love it. We appreciate it, Coach. Tim Lacombe, he'll be on tomorrow night, pre, half, and post with Jake Scott on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. And, boy, Jazz fans hoping to recover after that last one. I like close games. I like fun games. But that was when you give it up late, it was tough. When I looked at it and it was a 1:09 left and they're up 6, I thought, oh, good. I put them at 12-5 in my mind, you know, and that's a bad thing to do. You already start putting their record up and start comparing them to the rest of the West, and then to see them 11-6 today.
I kind of looked at last night as an aberration. It's just,
whatever,
it's
but,
just
they,
like,
but they've had two. Yeah. They've lost 3 out of their last 4 home games.
And you
or
know,
no, I guess it's 3 out of the last 5.
Here's probably what will happen is later on down the road, they'll probably win 2 or 3 that maybe they shouldn't have won, and it all balances
Let's
out.
Let's hope it does. Yeah, it's not the Grizzlies are a playoff team. They probably will be again this year. All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. Got our 2-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Boy, things have gotten interesting with the NIL stuff. Some of these players in these smaller teams and smaller markets, taking advantage, getting paid. I don't know what our problem is here in the state of Utah. We got to get on board with this kind of stuff. Stay with us. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
It's tipped. It's controlled by Morant. Here comes Morant across half court. Conley guards him. He attacks in the lane. Throws it back out. Jackson for the lead. It's good. 5.7 seconds left. Timeout Jazz. Memphis lead.
Ingles inbounding on the far side. Ingles holding. Ingles holding. Gets it into Donovan. Donovan drives with the right hand. Pullback jumper at the horn. No. Memphis beats Utah in Utah on a Jaren Jackson three.
Jaren Jackson dagger late with the Jazz. Losing last night 119-118 to the Memphis Grizzlies. And so there you go. We're going to be talking with Tim Lacombe here shortly, our Jazz Utah, or our Utah Jazz insider, as Luke Fickell is the head coach of Cincinnati is joining the College Football Playoff Ranking Show, and with a giant smile on his face, Scott. I mean, my heavens! Of course, he's going to be excited about being number four. So that's the big news. Of course, what we got in the world of College Football Playoff rankings is that Cincinnati is four, Alabama three, Ohio State two. They swapped places, Alabama and Ohio State, this week because Alabama only won by a touchdown over Arkansas at home. And Ohio State ran it up on Michigan State, of course. And then number one, of course, Georgia. Our number one, he's our Jazz insider, Coach Tim Lacombe, joining us on the program. Coach, what's going on, man?
Well, I'm just commuting in traffic, you know, driving driving on the splendid I-15 about now is not good.
No, it's not, but you know what it does?
What do you do to your apple cart? Do you stir it up? when you try to create...
Tip over the apple cart? We're trying to figure out what the saying is.
What is it?
I thought it was stir up the applesauce.
Oh.
You guys are both
wrong.
You guys are both wrong. You guys got to be both wrong. Come on.
Hey, it takes a lot of apples to make applesauce.
I put cinnamon.
It does, baby.
Oh, you're not helping, Coach. I know you're on Scott's team on this one. I'm not going to let you guys take this thing over, okay?
Scott's, he reminds me of Majerus. He used to come up with some beauties like that, you know, just make up
metaphors.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, you know what he's saying, but you also know it's dead wrong on the metaphor front. It's fine. We get it. You know, idioms and colloquialisms, we get it. You know, we kind of...
You just called me an idiot.
No, I didn't. Come on. Coach...
Hey.
Go ahead.
So, I had a buddy, he used to say, like, repeatedly, and I had to have to correct him, but he learned it right off the back. B-A-C-K.
Oh.
So it was like... And I'm like, that makes no sense. You can't be right off the back. Nobody plans for right off the back, you know?
Scott's always like...
Anyway.
Scott's always like...
that's weird.
You know, Scott always goes, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that's something people don't like to talk about. There's a stigmatism around it. that's one of my favorite ones. You know, you can't... There's a stigmatism surrounding that one. Yeah, let's get it some LASIK surgery. We'll fix it right up.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's wild. Stick around. There's going to be more of that. All right, so right off the bat, I'm watching this game last night, and I thought, they won't throw this one away. And then suddenly the Jazz get a dagger three, which is usually the reverse. They're kind of the ones usually upsetting those types of games. But the Grizzlies are a tough team. Ja Morant's tough. When you get three guys over 25 points in the game, that's a tough one. I mean, they ended up walking away with a one-point win. It's a much-improved Grizzlies team, though.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, the only thing I'd say is the Jazz can't lose that game. You know, they're up six with a minute nine. You know, I think they were 93%, 94% had the win in their pocket. And, you know, I've had those happen to me. It's really hard, but it's just one where you go back and you realize it wasn't really about the last minute. It was about the mindset in the second half. And, you know, everybody spoke about it after the game, the guys, coach, and until they really prioritize it and figure it out, it's still going to upset the apple cart every now and again.
upset the
old
apple cart.
That's what it is. Right. That's what it is. Rolls off the old tongue there.
I like it the other way.
Yeah, okay.
But speaking of that, so you talk about the mindset of the team. Is that why it's like, I mean, does that impact the play? Because what I saw coming down the stretch of the game was just fundamental basketball. You dribble the ball off your leg. You turn it over if you're Donovan Mitchell. I mean, this is a pro, you know. It's like, how often do you see that happen? They get the foul shots, and, of course, they are going to rebound, right? And so they put Hassan Whiteside in to get the rebound, and then Rudy Gobert does a really poor job of boxing out. He just gets pushed under the basket and gives Memphis a chance to actually make some kind of tip on a miss. And, I mean, Utah had been better if they'd actually made it, but still – it's probably would have won the game, but it's those fundamental things and it's those breakdowns. And then you see Donovan with 5 seconds to go. And of course, you know, he's your guy, but you're just going to dribble to the right. I mean, isn't there a better play? Isn't there a good pick and roll? Or, I mean, they were getting a good pick and roll with Connolly earlier in the game. And it was almost like they could get that shot at will. Does the Jazz ever want to change, not putting the ball in Donovan's hands at the end of the game when clearly I thought maybe Mike Connolly was better equipped to handle the end of the game?
Yeah, I would almost think, you know, and I've seen a bunch of end of games, you know, and the Jazz typically do a really good job of getting a shot. You know, this one kind of got fouled up from the start. I think the timing on the play caught that ball so far out toward half court. Yeah, I think the hard part about it, you mentioned the free throw blockout. You go back to, you know, countless times where they didn't get back defensively. And when you lose by 1 point and realize we did 100 things wrong, that's when it really gets frustrating. But again, all the guys talked about it until they actually really lock in and make it, you know, constant. They're going to struggle. And so, yeah, the hallmark of a good team is they get back and they stop things in transition. They don't give up easy baskets. And right now, unfortunately, the Jazz are doing too much of that. And, you know, they're still a good defensive team, but it's just a lapse that will at times cost you games.
Now you look at some of these games that are coming up for the Jazz. Going to Oklahoma City's one thing. I think even Oklahoma City is a young, talented team. I don't want to talk them up too much because it's not like they're a great team at all, but I think they probably overperformed a little bit to the expectations. What are they expecting out of that game tomorrow with Oklahoma City?
Well, I think it's a team that, again, it's a game the Jazz need to win. I think they need to win the rest of the week, right? They play Oklahoma City there tomorrow, and then the weekend they host the Pelicans twice on Friday and Saturday. So, you look at it, the Jazz need to figure out a way to do two things. Most important, they need to go 3-0. They just need to win these games because that's the most important thing. And then I think the second thing is they got to figure out how to play right, and they got to figure out again how to play for a purpose, you know, for the team. The defensive transition thing's troubling. So there's certain things that I think this team can get better at. There's certain things they're doing great, but until they all kind of decide that this is what we got to do to be good, you know, I think they're still going to pinball around a little bit, and you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. This team's going to make the playoffs, but I do believe that, you know, the more habits you can really instill and make them a solid thing this early in the year, the better.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about is like managing the entire season. So you talk about developing these habits or you talk about winning out the week, like Coach Snyder. What does he do? Does he have a plan? Does he have a plan for the week or the month or how to get this team through the season? What are they trying to accomplish as they're going along in the season? Because all I hear is, well, you know, we know what to do. We just got to go out and do it. And I'm just curious how you manage a season like that is so long.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, this season starts on time when the other one was compressed and late. So that, you know, this is a lot of basketball being run in together. And I think, you know, the Jazz, they busted their butt last year to get first seed. And I think they got there and realized, hey, you still got to go play, right? So I don't want to say that the regular season has taken the back seat,
because that's certainly not the case. But I think, like, as a team, you've got to find a motivation. You've got to find a reason that, hey, we're not going to continually get beat back in transition, and we're going to stop this. You know, you speak about Quinn's plan. I guarantee he has a plan. And he probably had to adjust that plan a little bit based on the results of last year. You know, they had some success in the postseason. But they took first place and they didn't get to the finals. So, you know, what's his message to the team and how is he going to position things? My guess is that there are certain things that are non-negotiable, you know, and defense and getting back in transition's got to be one of them. And, you know, it's just something the team's got to get.
Tim Lacombe, he's the coach. He, of course, covers your pre, half, and post with Jake Scott or the Utah Jazz radio
network. Not shooting the ball there.
Oh, there it's popping in and out here. Tim, can you hear us okay? Can you still hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry.
No, what happened to the apple cart?
The apple cart. He stirred it up.
I was stirring the apple cart, and it shocked me, you know, how fun it was to stir it.
Hey, speaking of food, Coach, we're trying to eliminate a side. You have to eliminate one side from Thanksgiving because I think we need to be honest with ourselves and realize that not all of them are great. So which one are you going to eliminate from this Thanksgiving?
Green beans.
There you go. The casserole, the one with the crispy whatever on it?
I like the casserole. No, I like the casserole. Just the straight green beans. They can go. I don't need them.
Whoever the family member was, who brings that over, they're also eliminated. Like they're not. they can't come with green beans in a dish and then go, this is what my offering is. What's your favorite thing?
Yeah, they're gone too. My favorite thing is stuffing and cranberry. Mm.
Together?
I love cran stuffing.
Cran stuffing.
I love this fine. When we have guests on.
Everybody loves all the stuff I hate.
Alex is on this mission to get rid of stuffing for Thanksgiving.
I think it's overrated.
Stuffing is Thanksgiving.
I think it's overrated.
And I'm on this.
Dude, I love stuffing, man.
I mean, Tim, you know that it's probably soggy. You know, it probably doesn't live up to the billing half the time.
Not my wife. My wife's stuffing is, well, that sounds personal. My wife's stuffing
it's
to die for.
I know. See, and I'll look, my father-in-law makes a great one, too. It's got to be crispy. You can't have the mushy stuff. Get out of here with the mushy stuff. So that's all I'm saying. All right. Coach is going to have the pre- and post-game shows tomorrow and halftime with Jake Scott. I'm assuming you're going to be doing that tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm in town. Yep. Okay. I'm here.
All right, there's the coach. Thanks for hanging out
with us. But I'm telling you, it is one of the things I look forward to, hanging with you boys weekly. This is great.
Hey, keep it going. We love it, man. We love it. We appreciate it, Coach. Tim Lacombe, he'll be on tomorrow night, pre, half, and post with Jake Scott on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. And, boy, Jazz fans hoping to recover after that last one. I like close games. I like fun games. But that was, when you give it up late, it was tough. When I looked at it and it was a minute 9 left and they're up 6, I thought, oh, good. I put them at 12 and I put them at 12 and 5 in my mind, you know, and that's a bad thing to do. You already start putting their record up and start comparing them to the rest of the West. And then to see them 11 and 6 today. It's
I kind of looked at last night as an aberration. It's just,
whatever,
it's
but,
just
they,
like,
but they've had two, yeah. they've lost 3 out of their last 4 home games.
And you
or
know,
no, I guess it's three out of the last 5.
Here's probably what will happen is later on down the road, they'll probably win 2 or 3 that maybe they shouldn't have won, and it all balances
Let's
out.
Let's hope it does. Yeah, it's not the Grizzlies are a playoff team. They probably will be again this year. All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. Got our 2-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Boy, things have gotten interesting with the NIL stuff. Some of these players in these smaller teams and smaller markets taking advantage, getting paid. I don't know what our problem is here in the state of Utah. We got to get on board with this kind of stuff. Stay with us. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.